Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 67th week of our look at the book of Genesis. We're in chapter number 49 this week as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Back in Genesis, this is really good. In Genesis 49, was that boring to y'all? Okay. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Now get this in context. You're going to judge your people. And not only are you going to judge your people, you're a snake. You're a serpent. And then, isn't it interesting? After he says that about Dan, verse number 18. I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Isn't that interesting? After he says that about Dan, he didn't say that about the other boys. But when he said that about Dan, he said, I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Don't you tell me that the Antichrist ain't coming from the tribe of Dan. After he mentioned that about Dan, he says, he makes it, I've waited for thy salvation. It's interesting. The Hebrew word for salvation here is Yeshua. I probably butchered it because I don't know Hebrew. I can't hardly speak English, much less Greek or Hebrew. But it's Yeshua. I think I'm saying that pretty close anyway, which is none other than the name Jesus. I've waited for thy salvation, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? This becomes even more significant when we realize that here is the first mention of that word salvation in the Bible. And it's Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. He was Jacob's salvation. And he's referring to, and remember, Jacob is Israel. He's blessing his sons. And it's Dan who's going to cause all of Israel as a whole problems. And Jacob said, I've waited for your salvation, oh God. And it's Jesus who's going to come right at this. Are y'all following? In the book of the Revelation 19:11, when he comes right on time, I'm telling you. I can't wait till we get to that part. In Zechariah 14, Israel will be saved. They're about to fall. The Antichrist is about to crush them. And Jesus comes right on time. And of course, we read here in Genesis 49, I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And then he turns his attention to Gad. Verse number 19. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Interesting. Gad is the eldest son of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid. He was the next in line. Not much is given about Gad. Not much is said in Scripture about Gad, but in Jeremiah 49:1, we read that in the days of Jeremiah and other times, foreign armies oppressed Gad, but Gad would always prevail. Well, that's a prophecy. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. In other words, you're going to have a lot of people invade you, but ultimately you're going to have the victory. That's what he's saying here. It's interesting. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, verse 14, we find that the tribe of Gad supplied many fine troops for King David. And in verse number 20, out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Interesting. Asher is the second son of Zilpah, Leah's handmaiden. Did I say that right? Yeah, okay. And he shall yield royal dainties. Asher's land was good enough not only to bring forth plenty of bread, but also luxuries and delicacies, finer foods. And I wrote on my notes, fit for a king. Not much is said about Asher, but it did say that he shall yield royal dainties, finer things. Just recently we went somewhere and I can't remember the bakery, but when I go to places, I don't want just a piece of cornbread. You know, if I go to a nice bakery, I want some kind of nice, decorative, sweet. You bite into it, just melts in your mouth, a dainty, you know. And that's how I picture Asher. From his land, they come those sweet, royal dainties, you know, those nice cupcakes and all. I'm being facetious, but you get the picture here. Okay, verse number 21. I love this. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Now, these are short little blessings, but you're talking about powerful. Naphtali is the second son of Bilhah, who was Rachel's maid. Okay? He says that Naphtali is a hind let loose. This tribe was known for swiftness and fleet of foot. When you find a little bit about them, that's what they were known for. Okay? He giveth goodly words. It's interesting, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, we read this. Now, when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, speaking of John the Baptist, by the way, he wasn't John the Baptizer. I heard somebody the other day call him John the Baptizer. He's John the Baptist. Amen, preacher. It's what God called him. God named him the Baptist. Okay? That's a whole nother sermon. Okay? He departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, speaking of Jesus, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in the darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. What a thought to think that Jacob told Naphtali that he would give God goodly words, and that was the land where Jesus ministered most of his 3 years. We're talking about in that area of Naphtali. Naphtali uses beautiful words because so much of the ministry of Jesus took place in that region. How fitting it was to be said of Naphtali that out of you will come goodly words. And I think of that song, sing them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. Well, Jesus spoke those wonderful, goodly words, the words of life, most of his ministry from this area here. And that's why he said that he giveth goodly words. Verse number 22, we get to Joseph. Oh, Joseph is a fruitful bough, and even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in his strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep, and that lieth under, and the blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father. Remember, he's still speaking to Joseph, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. So much is here, but I'm running out of time. Let me just read this. Joseph is next up. Joseph received a blessing comparable only to that of Judah. A faithful vow. In other words, Joseph's life and his descendants would be strong and numerous. His enemies would try to destroy him, but he would be victorious by God's hand. Notice in verse number 24, the first time God is actually called the shepherd. In verse number 24, he's actually called, from this is the shepherd. He's called not only the shepherd, he's called the stone. Why there's so much, the rock. And then verse number 25, God Almighty will bless him greatly. His tribes, which would be Ephraim and Manasseh, were some of the most prosperous. Verse number 26, Jacob said, I am more blessed than my ancestors, Abraham and Isaac. Isn't that something?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.